Please join me again as we pray to the Lord. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus, Son of God, worthy of all our praise and love, you are the Saviour of sinners. Thank you for your promise that you are here amongst us today. Please, Lord, open our ears to hear your voice, to hear your call to each one of us. Lord, we thank you that you have a plan for each one of us, that you call us into your kingdom of love. Help us, Lord, to hear your voice. Help us, Lord, to hear you speaking clearly and plainly through the scriptures. For your praise we ask. Amen. Over the last few weeks, we've been studying together what the Bible calls the body of death, the body of sin. Another word for that is what the Bible calls the flesh, the fallen, sinful nature that sadly dwells in each one of us. And we've seen how it has a deceitful heart. It lies to us within us. It gives us blind eyes. We're blind to the truth about ourselves and about God. And we saw last Sunday, it causes us to have a fiery tongue. We're so prone to misuse our words sinfully. And so in each one of us, there is this reality of this power of sin, this monster that fights against everything that is good. And the real problem of sin is within us. This body of death that just clings to every part of us. So you might say, well, preacher, that's all a bit miserable. Isn't this a bit much? Going on about sin like this week after week? Isn't this going to get us down? And isn't this going to drive people away from church? Well, it matters. It matters because what I'm trying to show you is that you are really that helpless in your sin. We are that helpless in our sin. We cannot cleanse ourselves. We cannot heal ourselves. We are helplessly lost in our sin. But it matters because the good news of the gospel is that Jesus helps the helpless. Jesus helps the helpless. You see, the good news is that there is a God-given remedy for sin. We can be healed, but not by looking for something within us, which is the world's message, but by looking outside of us at Jesus, God's Son. And he's got this tremendous grace and power that can save us from all sin. So, although it might sound like I'm really speaking about all these miserable things about sin, really what I'm saying to you is that there is good news. There's healing for sin through Jesus Christ, through knowing him. We can be restored and renewed in the image of God. You can be made right. And Jesus helps the helpless. He says, I've not come to call the righteous, the ones who think they're doing okay. I've come to save sinners, those who know they're broken, those who know they need help and they've got it wrong. And what I'm trying to do is help you feel that sense of helplessness so that you will really run to Jesus and embrace him and all that he is. So that you'll open your heart to him. And so that you'll discover the process of being a Christian, that word repentance, is another word for healing. Being a Christian is an ongoing process of your soul being made well. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Of increasingly being made more happy, more holy, more whole, the more you know Jesus. So that's what this is about. You can be free of this body of sin and death. And the first step is you go, I'm that helpless in sin. Help me, Jesus. And this morning, what I want us to look at together is another part of the anatomy of the body of sin. The body of sin can develop a stiff neck. A stiff neck. And I want to try and warn you about this condition so that you won't develop it yourself and so that you'll learn how to avoid having a spiritual stiff neck. Let me try to explain what I mean. All the way through the scriptures, God complains about people who have stiff necks. Let me give you some examples. If you'd like to turn with me to Exodus and chapter 32. Exodus and chapter 32, near the beginning of your Bible. And what you've got there is you've got one of the most famous passages in all the scripture. It's the story of the Ten Commandments. And so God has rescued his people Israel from Egypt. This incredible act of God's love. Brought them out from slavery. And now he's inviting them to be in a covenant with him. To be in a loving bond with him. And so Moses goes up on the mountain and God's going to give them the Ten Commandments written in stone. The rules for how to be his people. How to live a holy life. But while Moses is on the mountain, well, the people build an idol and they have a pagan festival. That's what's going on. And God is so provoked. This God of love is so angry by this. He says, look, that's it, I'm done. And notice his chief complaint, what gets to the heart of it, why he's so angry. Verse 9. I have seen this people. I've got to know them. I see what they're really made of. I see who they really are. And indeed, it is a stiff-necked people. That's what so provoked him. Or if you look ahead to chapter 33 and verse 5. Again, God says, you are a stiff-necked people. That's the verdict. That's what's gone wrong with Israel. And then if you look at chapter 34, Moses prays. And he prays that God would be merciful. And in this way, Moses is a forerunner for Jesus. He's in that role, pleading on our behalf. And God relents because he's quick to forgive. He's such a gracious, loving God. But Moses confesses, 34 verse 9, we are a stiff-necked people. So we're talking here, aren't we? You can see that this is a serious sin. This is something that really provokes God, being stiff-necked. Well, then this carries on through the history of the Old Testament. God's repeated complaint is that Israel are stiff-necked. Let me give you another example. This is why he punishes them with the exile. This is why they go off into Babylon. If you look, for example, at Jeremiah chapter 19, going to jump ahead. This is almost two-thirds of the way through the Old Testament. God sends Jeremiah to say to the people, now you've really blown it. Now there's no more patience. You're going to go and spend a generation of slaves in Babylon. You've got so bad. And this is what he says, Jeremiah 19 and verse 15, as God gives this judgment. Don't worry if you can't find it. I will bring on this city and on all her towns the doom that I've pronounced against it. Because they have stiffened their necks that they might not hear my word. And then the same thing again. When they come back from exile and God again mercifully restores them. Nehemiah is sent to say to them, chapter 9, verse 29, Nehemiah. He says, look, do you know the reason that God was so angry? He says, look, because the people, you turned a stubborn shoulder, stiffened their necks and would not listen. So again, you see that the seriousness of having a stiff neck. But then one more example. It carries on into the New Testament. If you look at Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7. There you see the story of Stephen. He was a deacon in the first generation of the church. And he so provoked persecution from the enemies of the Christian faith. He was the first Christian martyr. And he's put on in a bit of a show trial in Acts 7. And in his defense, he's preaching the gospel to those people about to kill him. But look at what he says to them is why God's so angry with them. Acts 7, verse 51. This is what he says to them. He says, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. So, and there's many other examples that we could look at. But you see, all the way through the scriptures, this is something seriously wrong that we can develop a stiff neck that provokes God. So what does it mean? What's this picture or what's this idiom meant to teach us? What's God saying? Well, very simply, to have a stiff neck means you have a stubborn spirit of resistance to God. That's what it really means. You have a stubborn spirit of resistance to God, an ongoing pattern of resisting God. It's to refuse God. You refuse to listen to Him. You refuse to listen to His loving invitations of grace and mercy. Where God continually says, come to me. I will save. I will heal. I love you. Be in my family. I will redeem. Not listening. I will not give in. I will not open my heart and let God in. And it's a stubborn refusal to follow His guidance and His instruction. When God gives His commands, this is the way to live. Well, it's to dig in your heels and say, no, I'm going to keep going my way. It is a refusal to yield to God, to surrender to God in His way. And in fact, almost, the more that God reaches out, the more you seem to react and push away. That's what it means to have a stiff neck, a stubborn spirit of resistance to God. Now, I think where it seems like the picture comes from is you've got to go back in time to the time of the scriptures, to what would have been an everyday common sight. Imagine a farmer in those days ploughing his field. And of course, there's no tractors, there's no modern equipment. But you'd have an ox, or several ox, pulling the plough, and there'd be a yoke on their neck, a kind of a wooden bar, or metal bar perhaps even, that by which the farmer could control the ox and steer and direct it. And of course, that would work great until you had a stubborn, strong ox. You know, that kind of creature that has that willfulness about it. It would buck against the yoke. And the farmer's trying to get it to plough in a straight line, and it wants to go this way. And he's going to have to fight against that ox. It's going to be that stubborn independence. It will not yield to the control, to the master's direction. You'd say that ox has a stiff neck. That's where the picture's coming from. So God's complaint is that there are some people who fight against Him like that. Won't let Him help. Won't let Him lead. It's an unwillingness to yield to God, an unwillingness to listen. Now, what the scriptures are saying to each one of us is that there is in all of us that tendency to having a stiff neck. Tendency to having a stiff neck. The scriptures say that, Romans 8, the carnal mind, our natural mind in this body of sin, is enmity against God. It's saying that born within us, there's an innate resistance to God. It's in all of us. And when God calls us, when God speaks to us, there's something within us that wants to buck up and resist it. So the miracle we're talking about, when someone becomes a Christian, this is the real change. This is the heart of it. What happened when you become a Christian? God begins to soften that spirit of resistance. Or in His words, He says He takes away the heart of stone and He gives us soft, fleshy hearts. And God begins to woo us and draw us. And what God's doing when someone becomes a Christian is He's got to overcome and change that willfulness and that resistance like it melts away. Then once you become a Christian, there's an ongoing work of God's Spirit increasingly softening you towards God. And increasingly you're willing to listen more and love more. And we all need that gracious work in our hearts, always decreasing that resistance. And over time as a Christian, this wonderful thing starts to happen. You start to go with God more easily. You start to really love His commandments. You start to really enjoy them. And you find peace in doing things God's way. And you start to enjoy God being in control. And then you find you start to become more flexible with other people. And that love and that grace overflows out with a humility and generosity. And you get the sense of what's going on in a Christian. But this is the thing. The big warning of the scriptures is that a stiff neck can become stuck. A stiff neck can become stuck. If you continue to resist God, you can become hardened towards Him. And the more you give in to that resistance, the more that resistance will grow within you. Like feeding a pet tiger, it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger until it eats you. The more you feed that resistance, it will grow. And as you've already kind of seen, the great example of this in the scriptures is the history of the people of Israel, the old covenant people of God. You see, the story of the Old Testament, if you don't know the Bible, this is what the Old Testament's about. That God chooses this one special people, Israel, that through them He's going to save the world. And He loves this people. He brings them in as His children. He saves them from a hopeless place of slavery in Egypt. And He just pours blessing after blessing upon them. He binds Himself to them in a loving covenant. He promises He'll always be their God. Gives them their own homeland. Defeats all their enemies. Gives them a great king. Blesses them with prosperity. And the more God loves them, the more they resist Him. The more they wander away from Him. And in one sense, the Old Testament is something of a tragedy, because this special people end up completely turning from God. And it comes to a climax in the New Testament, that God sends His Son in the ultimate act of love to say, come back to God through me. And what happens is they turn on Him and He's crucified. And that's what Stephen was saying in that speech. He says, you always resist God and this gracious, His gracious ways to you. And so then the story, the flip that happens in the New Testament is that God says, well, your stiff neck is so bad, you're stuck. In the words of Isaiah, your hearts have become so hard, your ears are deaf. Then in some ways, it's like the day of grace is over. And instead, God now sends the gospel out round the world. And now all peoples are being called in to be this special people of His love. And there's a promise, I think, that God will once again restore Israel and soften their hearts. But there's this terrible judgment that they have so hardened themselves that their stiff neck has become stuck. You can so resist God for so long, in the end it's almost like God says, okay, and you're stuck in it. It's a fearsome thing to think about that, isn't it? It's that you have a contrariness, if you give into it, that you will always defy Him. You know, it's like with the kids sometimes. We say, it's time to tidy up the toys. Put them in the blue box. So they go and put them in the red box. And they say, okay, let's put the toys in the red box then. So then they put them in the blue box. And it's that spirit of contrariness that no matter what God's doing, you're just going to resist whatever way it is. Whether he reaches out in love or He reaches out to discipline you. And the fearsome thing is, it can be stuck. Now, I know perhaps some of us suffer from arthritis. And you know what they say, the thing you've got to do is keep moving. Because the moment you give into it and stop moving, it freezes and it stiffens and you get worse. And it's painful, isn't it, to do that, to keep moving. It's a painful thing sometimes to humble yourself to God. But if you give in and resist Him, that resistance is only going to become more fixed. So how does that apply to us? Every day, in 1,000 ways, small and great, you have a choice. To either soften your heart to God or stiffen your neck. In every day, in 1,000 things, big and small, you have a choice. Soften your heart to God or stiffen your neck. Let me try to perhaps explain what I mean. God, in His Spirit, is speaking to all of us constantly. He's reaching out with grace to all mankind through His good gifts, through the witness of creation. He's speaking to our consciences, prodding us to what's right. He shines some light and understanding of the truth into all of us. And He's drawing and wooing us and pulling us closer to God. And if we quench that, if you resist that, if you close your ears and you reject the opportunities for grace He gives you, you choose to sin over goodness, you're stiffening your neck. Has perhaps God been calling you to become a Christian? God's calling you to come follow Christ. He's been drawing you. He's saying, come, give everything. Come follow Jesus, trust Him. And you felt that pull. And you know deep down He wants you to bow to Him and call Jesus Savior and Lord. Now maybe he's been blessing you with many good gifts. In his kindness, he's given you great happiness in your life, many comforts. He's drawing you through that. He's drawing you, saying, look, I'm giving you these good things. Or maybe he's convicting you of sin. Maybe he's making you aware of your sin. And so you feel increasingly troubled and guilty and unhappy. He's drawing you through that. Now, have you been quenching that call? Don't stiffen your neck. Don't fight that. Let God in. Or maybe if you are a Christian already, you've been resisting his ongoing work. Has God been calling you to a new level of obedience? He's shown you something in your life that needs to change. You've become aware of a sin, but you've been reluctant to give it up. Don't stiffen your neck. Have you sinned? Have you sinned? Well then, don't stiffen yourself. Soften your heart. Don't carry on in the sin, but turn back to God. Don't hide from God. This very moment in love, he offers you a fresh start and complete forgiveness. If you'll just come and confess and put it right. Don't run from that. With our little ones, when they do something wrong, very often that's not the reason why we have to punish them. You know, they might push each other, they might steal a toy, and we step in to correct them. And if they would respond, that would be the end of it. But the real problem is they don't. They then escalate it. Mums and dads, you know what I mean? And then they run away. Then we've really got to discipline them. And if you've done wrong and you've sinned, the thing is don't stiffen. Don't run away from God. Run to God. Confess it and put it right. That's what the gospel's all about. And in love, he embraces you. Or maybe, has God been calling you to a ministry? Some new form of service or sacrifice? And you know there's something you're meant to be taking on and carrying as a cross. A deeper involvement in service to others or the life of the church. You really know he's calling you to be at the prayer meeting and the evening service. Or to get involved in the kids' work. Or some other particular need. Don't stiffen your neck. Let God in. Or maybe he's been disciplining you through suffering. Maybe he's been humbling you and rebuking you through setbacks and discomforts or illnesses. Don't stiffen your neck. Let God in. Yield to the discipline and say, your will be done, not mine. And listen to what he's teaching you. There's a million different ways you'll have a choice every day. Soften your heart or stiffen your neck. You will be tempted to be that stubborn, independent, I did it my way kind of person. Let him in. Let this gospel of love in. The cure for a stiff neck. The cure for a stiff neck is to daily put on the yoke of Christ. Daily put on the yoke of Christ. Think again of that ox pushing against its master. It needs to be trained. It needs to learn through practice to submit to that leading of the master. Now, this is Christ's invitation to you. Put on his yoke. And here's the key thing we'll see. Put on his yoke. Those words you heard at the start of the service, Matthew 11. The Lord Jesus says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When you have that tendency within you, the cure is daily put on the yoke of Christ. Now what I mean by that is learn every day to surrender more and more to Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's an action of your heart from deep within. You submit to him as the Lord of your life. You accept he owns you. He is your master. He purchased you, body and soul, on the cross. He bought you with his blood. And you belong to him. You are his in love. To learn how to daily put on his yoke is to say willingly, without resisting, without questioning, without hedging, without grumbling, but unequivocally submit to Christ. You will obey his commandments in the Bible. When he says jump, you only ask how high. He says don't do it, you gladly don't do it. And you're going to have to daily make this submission to him. And that you give to him, you offer to him your time and your talents and your energy. It's all about that attitude in your heart. I will love him. I will choose him. I will serve him. But my point to you is that this is a daily action. To break in, can you imagine trying to break in a stubborn, stiff-necked oxen? It's not going to happen in a day, is it? It's going to be a battle. And so every day, it's not just something you do once when you became a Christian. But every day, consciously, take that yoke upon you and choose Christ. And when you're looking for it, every day, you will find he'll bring you to some point where you'll know there's his way and there's your way. Might be something small, some small action or small choice, but there will be something every day where you've got to make that choice, his will, not yours, and to submit. And when you learn how to do it with smaller things, he'll push you on to do it with bigger things. You have the choice. Stiffen your neck or put on the yoke of Christ. Let him in. Just let him in. My final question for you is this. Now what I've said might sound dreadful to you. You might say that sounds like a terrible loss of independence. Terrible way to live. What a loss of self-fulfillment and self-expression. Are you really saying, preacher, we've got to serve Christ like a yoke over us? I knew it. I could never be a Christian. That sounds miserable. Killjoys. Think of all the things I might have to give up. No, thank you. I don't want to be holier than thou. I want to live my life. Which would all be true, except you must remember, this is his yoke. This is Christ, and his yoke of lordship is unlike any other. Service to him is not like any other kind of service because of who he is. That's the point of what he's saying in those verses, isn't it? He says he's gracious and he's meek. His yoke is one of love. It's not heavy, he says. It's easy. It's light. Once you know who I am, how much I love you. I would never do something to hurt you or do you wrong. His yoke is not an iron chain. It's like a beautiful daisy chain made from flowers. And in fact, taking his yoke is the way to have real happiness. The reason you're not happy is because you're not submitting to him. It's not a yoke of servitude, but of freedom. And the reason that you are resisting God is because you've got the wrong idea about him, what he's really like. He's not a harsh taskmaster, not a legalist. He's gentle and lowly of heart. He's someone you can come to at any moment with any problem, and he cares. He's approachable, he's forgiving, he's slow to anger and quick to forgive. How easy it is the longer you've been a Christian, because you rightly know the holiness of God and revere his majesty, how easy it is to distort that and forget that he is the Lord gracious and merciful, who's kind and forgiving, who loves sinners. Think about the Lord Jesus, the one without sin. He's the Holy One of God, and yet all the sinful, broken people around him knew that they could come to him, that they knew they could break the taboos that said they couldn't touch, and they knew they could touch Jesus. You think about the children, and they were looked upon as a nuisance. They knew they could come and run and jump on him because of this approachableness. This is the one who would cast this yoke upon you. His lordship is not heavy, and submitting to Christ is a joy. You want to be free? Take his yoke upon you. And He will take from you the weight of sin. He says, those of you who are heavy burden, come to me. That heavy weight, it's been with you so long, you almost have forgotten it's there, of guilt, of regret, condemning you. You are already under a yoke, the yoke of sin. You're already doing things that you don't want to do, that sin's making you do. You are weary. Is life without Christ really so great? Is it really so fun without him? Then why is there so much misery in the world and so much discontent? Because life without Christ is not that great. He will take that from you. He will take from you the weight of worry. Because he promises he will protect you. He will provide for you. He'll take the weight of fear from you. He'll give you assurance and the promise of eternal life. He will take from you the weight of striving to be good enough for God. We've all been there, haven't we? We've all tried to be better than we are and strive to be good enough so that God will accept us. He'll take that from you because he'll give you a free salvation that you're just freely accepted because of what he has done. So he'll give you rest and peace with God. You see, his way is different. His service is rest. Rest for your soul. Peace with God. Peace with yourself. Peace with others. Because there's forgiveness and there's a new beginning. So do you find in yourself that tendency to a stiff neck of resisting God? Then daily surrender. Let Christ in. What have you got to lose? Put that yoke upon you of Jesus as Lord. Let me finish by putting it this way. Do not listen to the devil's propaganda that tells you to resist him. During World War II, you probably know that the Nazis used propaganda to scare their own people, the German people. And they told them that the Allies were monsters. The Americans were always portrayed as gangsters. And the British and the French were baby murderers. And no doubt, some German people honestly believed if they surrendered to the Allies, they'd be tortured. But of course, what did they find? That in the end, when they surrendered, they were truly liberated. And they were truly free. Saved from their own evil rulers. Or think of the Marshall Plan, how the Allies dropped millions of tons of aid and food. And in the same way, the cure for a stiff neck is stop believing the lies you've been told about Christ. About who he is and how he loves us and leads us as our Lord. So don't stiffen your neck, but open your heart to Christ. And soften your heart to him this morning. Take his yoke upon you. Let us pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, forgive us, we pray, for all the wrong ideas we have had about you. For all the ways, Lord, we've distorted who you are. Teach us who you are in truth, we pray. Open our eyes, Lord, to your love and compassion, to your grace and mercy for sinners. Lord, save us from stiff necks. Help us to soften our hearts and let you in. May your Holy Spirit, even this morning, be at work within us, leading us to know Christ. Lord, we pray and thank you that you are such a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger, quick to forgive. May we know you in truth. We pray for Christ's sake. Amen.